Thank you very much. Our next presentation is by Lisa Simon. She's going to be talking about learning asthma, linking asthma education to urban youth's perspectives and experiences. And Dr. Simon is an associate professor of transformative literacy in the School of Education at City College, City University of New York.
So good morning. I'm very excited to be here. Let me begin. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I want to begin with a premise, which people have already referred to in their earlier presentations, but just to name it specifically, that asthma is part of urban life. The high incidence of asthma, which we've already mentioned, in urban communities, particularly in economically struggling neighborhoods, means that poor urban children and youth are likely to have experience with and knowledge about asthma. So if they themselves don't have asthma, they have someone in their family, they have a friend, or they know someone at school, very likely they have not been untouched by asthma. And as people have mentioned, they need an in-depth understanding of what asthma is and how to manage it. And as people have also mentioned, one of our reasons for being here today, is that they need access to effective asthma education, because that's a key component, as people have mentioned, of asthma management. But research on asthma education is showing us that it needs to be more effective than it is right now. So some examples are key educational understandings are not being effectively taught. And I should mention, my background is as a teacher and an educator, much more than health. And so I'm particularly interested in, like, how are we teaching this? So for example, in focus groups, adolescents could identify asthma managed methods. So if they took a little test, they could do it. But they also acknowledge they're not using them. So there's a gap there. And asthma as a chronic disease is under-recognized. And so the focus is on symptoms, like overt symptoms, and when the symptoms disappear, often people, families are talking about, well, so do the management strategies, the medicine, and perhaps the environmental strategies as well. So there are some gaps. And research has talked about some specific ways that we need to change it to be more effective. So asthma education right now typically is emphasizing lung functions and medical compliance. And that focus needs to be expanded. So first of all, information, when we come in and just provide the information to the kids or to the families without being in dialogue, that's a problem. So that top-down, unidirectional way is one of the reasons it's not working. We need to create contexts that encourage two-way conversations in order to explore and negotiate kids, families, beliefs, and theories and hopes about asthma management. And then with that knowledge, we can tailor curriculum with the goal of co-creating an understanding of asthma that is relevant to learners and provides valuable information. And so in this time when economics are very tight, this is going to be more expensive than in coming in and just telling the kids or the families, but it's not being particularly effective what we have been doing. So it's something to think about. So Handelman and colleagues say, clearly, you know, efforts should be made to make patient education a two-way conversation where we begin by learning how patients conceptualize asthma. So the focus of my research was on how are adolescents who live in struggling urban communities, how are they conceptualizing asthma? So I'm going to talk to you about that. So my research questions were, how do these participants understand asthma and its presence in their lives? And how do they use these understandings within their worlds? So my study, I had 14 participants, and all of them expressed a desire to share and develop their knowledge about asthma. They were between the ages of 12 and 15. The majority, all but one, identify as Latino or Latina and are bilingual. They are, or when I knew them, certainly struggling class. They live in a major metropolitan area. And they attend an economically struggling school with an in-house health clinic. And the school was a site where we met and did collect the data. So my study was qualitative descriptive. And I used that paradigm because my goal was to access parents, participants' perspectives and understandings. And then, when I had that data, identify and unpack the contradictions and complexities of those understandings. So I conducted 11 weekly semi-structured focus groups, and then when the focus groups were done, I did semi-structured one-on-one follow-up interviews. And the data analysis follows the qualitative method, where the meeting and interviews were recorded and then transcribed, and then the data were analyzed, read, reread again through a critical sociocultural lens. And the data that I'm presenting today was read again then to emphasize, identify where participants were articulating their view of how to control asthma, how to sustain health, their view of medicine, and their view of doctors. So one of the strongest findings, just named all the way through the data, is that asthma comes out of nowhere. So here's an example from Lenny. She's telling the story in the focus group. In third grade, that happened. It just came out of nowhere. I was walking with my friend from the bathroom, and I sort of stopped wheezing, and I was like, go get the teacher. So she got the teacher. I don't know what kind of asthma was that, but I had like a really serious attack. Like I fell on the floor. I got on my knees. I was holding my chest. Okay, so this is just an very representative example of how the idea of asthma coming out of nowhere. And it would be easy right now to stop and say, oh, these kids didn't know enough about asthma, and that's why they think it can't be controlled. We could also kind of link it to your work, where it was we could say, well, maybe they don't have that sense of self-efficacy, and that's something to think about. But not knowing about asthma would be inaccurate. They know a lot about asthma, and I'll show you what I mean. They had a really strong knowledge of symptoms. So they named coughing, wheezing, heart racing, hard to breathe, body slumping, and tiredness as symptoms to watch for in an asthma episode or asthma attack. And they had a strong knowledge of trigger, so they talked a lot about smoking. They were very, very concerned about smoking, who would smoke around someone who has asthma, and then they talked about dust and dirt, stuffed animals, animal fur, chalk, running fast, being excited, cold, heat, steam, and ozone labels. So if I think about the presentation that we just heard, where they were talking about the home environment, that what's missing is that idea of dust mites and cockroaches. So that would be a place that's a gap, but that's a pretty good list of triggers, and they would probably do very well on the general asthma knowledge evaluation. And it wasn't rote, okay? It wasn't like they just read me a list. They were actively trying to understand these triggers. So they had identified for me that crayons would be better than chalk if you had asthma, and I said, why? And Kurt said, chalk, it's made out of powder. And Letty says, like, you see when they take two erasers and they go like this, and they cough. And I say, yeah. And Letty says, it's because the dust, and Alana explains, the particles in the air. So could that go deeper? Sure. But they're not just saying, oh, it's chalk, and not thinking about it. They're actively trying to figure out how these triggers work on the body to make asthma. So their in-depth knowledge and thoughtfulness actually supported the belief that asthma can't be controlled. Because they were aware, and I think we probably all are aware, and certainly we've talked about that in the last presentation, triggers can't be completely eliminated. And so if you think about it, how can you avoid cold weather? They live in New York. How can you avoid running too fast or being excited? They're human beings. And then things that are hard to give up completely, like my cat that I love, or going outside. So if all the triggers are outside, how do you give those up? So they know that they can't be given up, and that's one of the reasons that they're seeing asthma as hard to control. So how do you respond to the uncontrollable? Well, in all the stories they told, and they told me autobiographical stories, and also we did fictional stories. The pump, especially in the fiction, well, no, both. The pump was how you responded to the uncontrollable. So participants consistently referred to quick relief inhalers as a solution for symptoms. And the pump only meant the quick relief. And when that doesn't work, you go to the emergency room or the hospital. So many told stories about people going to the emergency room due to sudden asthma attacks that the pump couldn't control. And here's a picture that crystallizes this idea of asthma as uncontrollable in the way the pump and the hospital plays a role. So Isis drew this comic strip about a fictional story of a girl who had asthma who'd stayed inside for 5 years. And this is her first time out of the house in 5 years, and she's going on a field trip. And she's so excited that she runs up the hill, and this triggers her asthma attack. And you see she's saying, help, cough, help, and I need my pump. And this person is calling the hospital, and the orange thing says, help is on the way. And this character is bringing her her pump. And so you can see, like, this is a very consistent view among the kids of how, what asthma is and how you react to it. So another very strong theme was that they avoided thinking of asthma as chronic. They consistently talked about finding a cure. Do you think there'll be a cure? I hope there's going to be a cure. There were many references to asthma going away and people overcoming asthma. And so people whose asthma was under control were seen as they had grown out of asthma, they no longer had asthma. And there were no references. Even there were a couple of kids who did take medicine every day, but they never talked about using that medicine as a prophylactic. And there was a lot of concerns and critique about medicine side effects. So why is this significant for the work that we're doing? Well, first, these participants were the ideal students. They all had extensive personal experience with asthma, and they had a strong interest in learning more for themselves and for their family and for their friends. Like, that's why they came and met with me 11 times. They already know a great deal about asthma symptoms and triggers, and they have experience in managing asthma. But their experiences and their observations have resulted in a conceptualization of asthma as a disease that can't be controlled, and so in that way, their understanding of asthma is in real conflict with the work that asthma education is trying to do. That idea that asthma can be managed, that there can be, your life doesn't need to be affected by asthma. For them, remember, asthma is uncontrollable and it can come out of the blue. So to be effective, asthma education would have to negotiate these learners' beliefs to help them recognize that first, that asthma can be controlled and managed, and how asthma is a chronic disease. And yes, this was a small group of kids, 14, but every conversation I've had with kids about asthma is very similar. So I'm not saying that you can generalize, but I think it's probably pretty common belief that asthma is uncontrollable. And also that it's not chronic, because it's also in the literature. It's echoing a lot of other research. So some implications. We can't, if we want to be effective, we can't keep using a top-down approach. To help learners understand asthma as a chronic but manageable condition, we have to use an approach that's in dialogue with their beliefs. Using a top-down approach that emphasizes only biomedical information would be likely to reinforce these kids' beliefs that asthma is uncontrollable, and it would reinforce their attention to symptoms, and when those symptoms are gone, they would then infer that asthma is gone as well. So if we keep doing the way we have been doing with the emphasis on lungs and top-down, I think we're going to keep undercutting our efforts. So specific teaching recommendations. Value learners' questioning and critique. Recognize and address learners' concerns. Open up to a dialogue where you're going to get to hear what they're thinking as well so that you can then begin addressing that. Highlight the invisible biomedical processes of asthma. Connect these unseen processes to learners' understandings of overt symptoms and to management so that they know what's going on inside even if they don't feel the overt symptoms. And explore the history of asthma to see why did we become focused on management rather than a cure? What is the pump? It can unpack the pump and the different medicines, and it will help them recognize the ongoing development of asthma knowledge and their role in that development. So I'm going to quickly go through these. Some resources to create that dialogue. So you can do games, role plays, and drawings, and that's how you can begin to understand how they see asthma. Maps, photographs would allow you to look at asthma, environment, poverty, and industrial concerns. If we think about like how at the housing community that we heard about in the previous presentation, how there were things that they couldn't control. Everybody knows that. Everybody in my group knew that, but how you begin to talk about that and see that as one way to become more effective in asthma. And then murals, narratives, timelines lets you look at asthma in people's lives, asthma activism, and evolving understandings of asthma. and opportunities for students' advocacy. So these kids live with asthma 24 hours a day. Most teachers don't, and most doctors don't. So how they have a lot to say about what teachers and doctors should know about asthma. And I want to just advocate for us being advocates as well. So advocate for teachers to have accurate knowledge about asthma. I don't have time to tell you the scary things the kids told me that the teachers were doing, but I'm sure many of you have heard these kinds of things. But also just to go back to the beginning where I was saying that asthma is part of living in an urban community, then it should be part of the curriculum, and it can be. So if teachers should be in biology, they teach disease. This is a genetic environmental disease. It relates to medicine, and it involves research skills. History, you can look at the history of asthma. Literature, you can look at metaphors to describe asthma and asthma narratives, fiction, memoir, poetry. Art, there's beautiful murals of asthma. And then physical education. All the kids who had asthma in this study were told not to exercise. So I'll leave it with that, and I want to thank you. This is just an example of the mural that you could use. And on the handout online that I have, is a couple of good resources if you do want to use any of those resources. Thank you.